podcast. There was a book written a few years ago that's just been brought back into circulation. It's called Songwriters Speak, and the author is on the phone. Debbie Kruger. Hello, Debbie. How are you?
Good morning. I'm just getting over you calling Macquarie Park Death Valley, did you say?
Oh, yeah. It really is the most beautiful and scenic part of Sydney. You've got no idea unless you've visited here.
So this... Well, my parents are buried there, so what am I going to say?
Well, there you go. That kills that punchline. So this book was written a few years ago now, but it's been brought back into circulation. And in the meantime, at least 8 of the songwriters that you interviewed have passed away, and the music industry has changed dramatically. Who were some of the people that you caught up with, Debbie?
Oh, God, it was such an exciting time catching up with so many great songwriters. And, yeah, 8 are gone now. Joy McKean, Slim Dusty's wife, who wrote so many of his hits, she's gone. But, you know, people who live overseas, like Colin Hay, John Farrar, who wrote all those great Olivia Newton-John songs, including the big hits from Greece, You're the One That I Want, Hopelessly Devoted to You, Nick Cave, Neil Finn and Tim Finn. I travelled the world to interview these guys. Deborah Conway, who's got a memoir out at the moment, Casey Chambers, and, you know, all the old faithfuls, Glenn Shorrock and Graham Goble from Little River Band, the guys from Midnight Oil, Andrew Farris from NXS. You name it, there's 45 of them in this book.
So it's been called A Buried Treasure. It came out a while ago, and now it's been brought back into circulation. What was it that brought it back in?
Me.
Right.
Because it had been out of print for 15 years, and people kept saying, why can't I find your book? And it was just a matter of figuring out a way to get it out there again, and now it's available worldwide. You can go on your favourite online retailer and buy this book wherever you are in the world. The response has been wonderful. You know, people were trying to get this book. They were paying a fortune on eBay.
Really?
For old copies of it. Yeah. Yeah, I even bought some of them, you know, to replenish my stock. And it was out of print through nobody's fault. It had just, you know, the publisher had closed its business because it was a small boutique publisher originally. But it sold out and that was it. So... It's really exciting, and the Australian public and media have been really supportive of the book being back.
And as you mentioned, a lot of these people have passed away. A lot of these stories need to be heard and also need to be told before these people are no longer with us. You talk about some of the big songs like Friday On My Mind, K-San, of course, by Chisel, Deep Water, Richard Clapton, one of Australia's finest singer-songwriters. Did you find any particular backstory of any of the songs that really you didn't realise about that and surprised you?
Oh, Neil Finn had some good stories. I won't go into them right now, but, you know, some of those early Crowded House songs, the things that were going on in Neil's mind, World Where You Live, songs like that. You know, there were some very deeply personal stories, like from people like Archie Roach. And then Don Walker has great stories.
Oh, of course.
Tim Finn also, very, very deeply personal, some of those split end songs. I think some of the great stories were how songwriters believe that songs come to them. And, you know, you'll sit and listen to a beautiful Little River Band song and Graham Goble will tell you that that song came to him from an angel overnight in his sleep.
Yeah, you know,
and then some songwriters just believe that they're in the instrument. You know, you sit down with a guitar and maybe that song is there that day.
Yeah, Rick Rubin writes a lot about this in his latest book too. It's funny how if you tune into the universe, how these songs are available and around at that particular time. It's really interesting. I read a quote the other day as well, or at least a story about how the whole grunge movement came together to so many different bands all at the same time. And it was, again, if you just tune into the universe, that particular sound was available and you just had to kind of pluck it out of the air. That's what a lot of musicians believed.
Yeah, but then the way that music changes, I mean, if you think, I'm actually listening to the Ben Gillies and Chris Joannou memoir on Silverchair at the moment and on Audible. I interviewed Daniel Johns, who was really the creative genius of that band, and they started as a Nirvana-like grunge band
but
turned into something quite epic and orchestral and It was interesting following the trajectories of some of these songwriters and where their artistry took them. And the songs, you know, will always take you back. I always said to John Farrar, you know, you wrote You're the One That I Want full stop. Mm. It might not be the deepest, most profound song you'll ever hear, but I defy anyone to hear that song and not be taken back immediately to when Grease came out, to that final scene in the movie. It's so exciting.
That's right. Well, any song is a, you know, almost a photograph as well for you when it does, as you say, transport you back to a time you can remember exactly where you were. It's interesting, though, what you said about Silverchair and the way they had moved from what was, I guess, essentially a grunge band to the orchestral stuff as well. Be interesting to see what, and they're not Australian, obviously, but bands like Nirvana, how they would have evolved as well to the kind of music they'd be playing now compared to that era.
Exactly. I mean, we're quite lucky. Yes, you said we've lost eight of these songwriters through illness or old age, but we've been quite lucky. We haven't had the epic tragedy that, you know, Kurt Cobain or Amy Winehouse or these people that left so soon, and we never knew what might have come. What I loved about talking to these songwriters and songwriters speak is that they've had long careers and there were great stories, and it's all about the history of music to me.
Yeah, of course.
I've been asked a lot, why don't you interview these new songwriters? And I would say, well, that's not my job to do. I'm a historian.
Yeah.
And I wanted these people to tell me the stories of their lives and what influenced and inspired them to write the songs that have been, you know, Our cultural landscape.
That's right.
The soundtrack of our lives.
The greatest art, of course, born from tragedy, and the whole thing being a roller coaster that you can't really look back and, I guess, reflect upon until you're in your late 40s and 50s and what have you. Oh, well, I'm really looking forward to seeing the book back in publication. It's called Songwriters Speak. It's great to speak to you too, Debbie. Thank you so much. Have a terrific Christmas.
Oh, thank you, Phil. You too.
13 to 8, WSFM.